morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. The time is exactly 9 o'clock on this soon-to-be snowy.
The whole place is in
Friday
disarray this morning.
Morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Evanston. Co-host Wayne Majors,
morning.
Vice President Chief of Staff, Loyola University.
We're going to blame Father Bob Barron for all this because we understand that he was in doing some recording and now everything's off and nothing's working and there's
nothing
volumes
even works here.
And
I can't even find the switches or the knobs.
How
here.
Could professionals like us work under these conditions?
Michael, how can you allow this in gym? Okay, we're going to go to a break. Listen, are you getting ready for the big snow?
6 to 8 inches tonight, they say, yes.
And so I think starting about 9 o'clock in
the
morning.
I have a grueling 90-second commute to work, so it may be 95 seconds because of the snow.
Folks, Wayne actually works across the street at Loyola University. Right. He gets out of the office, down an elevator, across the street to come to here for the radio show.
It's a tough job, Mercy.
For Catholic Community of Faith, and coming from Evanston.
I get cranky if the elevator takes too long.
I left earlier because thinking that the snow might be starting, but it hasn't. We have a great show lined up. Our phone number, 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. And we will learn about Aim High, a mentoring program of the Center for Companies That Care. That's a not-for-profit group that has secured mentors from businesses in the past and is now introducing the program to parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have with us in studio Marcy Koblenz, the president and co-founder of Companies That Care, and Brian Powers, a mentor. Marcy and Brian, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad
nice
to be here.
Glad you made it down. And I think to let our listeners know, a week ago Wednesday, and for Wayne too, one of our parishioners at St. Mary's, Linda Hauser, very active with her husband Bob and daughter Alex, gave me a call and said, I'd like you to meet a good friend of mine, Marcy Koblenz from Aim High. I have to be honest, I never heard of Aim High. I said, Linda, why don't the three of us get together at the parish? We did. At the end of it, I said, Marcy, would you mind being on radio to let our listeners know about this fantastic program called Aim High? I think it's the best kept secret of what you're doing. So, Marcy, with Aim High, when did it begin and how did you begin it?
Aim High began 5 years ago, and it actually started when a professor at the University of Chicago came to me and said, have you seen the University of Chicago study about the college graduation rate of Chicago public high school students? And I said, no, tell me about it. And he said, only 6% of Chicago public high school students graduate from a four-year college. And of my
four-year high school?
From a four-year college.
Oh, college.
Only about 50% of Chicago public high school students graduate from high school, but only 6% graduate from a four-year college. And for minority students, it's under 3% who graduate from a four-year college. And he said to me, his name is Dr. Marv Hoffman, and he's absolutely the visionary behind this program. And he said to me, I know that the Center for Companies That Care works with businesses. Do you think that businesses could do something to turn around this dismal statistic? And I said, I don't know, I'm not an educator, but if you can give me a vision of what you think is needed, then yeah, perhaps we can. And he was great. He was very succinct, and he said, we need two things to turn this statistic around. We need role models for the kids because most of them don't know anyone who's been to college. And so they need people in their lives who not only can help them navigate the college process, but can also show them the benefits of what having a college education can do for you and can do for your family long-term in life. So role models, and the other thing he said is, and it has to be long-term. It can't just start in 11th grade because people who have no expectation of going to college can't suddenly hear about it then and be prepared.
That's probably
to go.
The biggest difference in hearing a little bit about the program before we started this morning is that this is long term. This is 4 years of a commitment, not only on part of the company, but on part of the student. Right?
It's actually an 8 or 8+ year commitment. It starts with the students in 9th grade. Mm-hmm. We ask the companies to make a 4-year commitment through 12th grade, but then we stay with the students all the way through college.
Okay. Tell us how the students get plugged into this when they become 9th graders. How do they volunteer? How do they know about the program? And then how do they get connected?
We work with different schools who are interested in having AIM High come into their school, and the schools have a responsibility of providing a liaison to help coordinate, providing transportation to the AIM High programs. And then, yes, the students apply, and it's a selective process. In fact, just the other night we had our kickoff for 9th graders, and one of the moms was telling me that her son was so excited that he was selected, that she was in the shower, and he started banging on the bathroom door saying, I got in. So
for example, Marcy, how many in this particular school applied for the program, and then how many were actually admitted into the program?
In this school, 25 students applied and 10 were accepted.
Hmm. So you have to actually apply to be part of this.
Yes.
So. And then, mm-hmm. Brian, go ahead. Wayne?
Brian, how'd you get plugged into this?
Marcy and I have a mutual contact at a law firm that my company uses, and he thought that Marcy is somebody that I ought to talk to. So we had lunch about a year ago, and she explained the program to me, and I saw the value of it. And
now, what value did you see in the program, Brian?
From my perspective, it twofold, really. It was a way for me to give back to the community in service, and it was a way to involve TTX Company. That's the company that I work for, to give back to the community. We're headquartered here in Chicago, and I think it's important for companies that reside in Chicago to give back in a meaningful way.
So Marcy met with you, and as president of the company, how did you then pitch it to your employees?
Well, I'm the vice president of human resources, so I have.
So they had to listen to him.
So I'm the person who organizes these sorts of things for the company, so I had some pull. With respect to getting it off the
ground. It's always good to have the influence going in. Yeah. So, now tell us, let me oversimplify this. Is this an internship program, a 4-year internship program, and how does it differ? I'm just trying to get, you know, the context for our listeners in trying to describe the kinds of experiences that a student may have at a company like TTX or somewhere else. What do they do? How is it evaluated? How is it assessed as they go along through the program?
Sure. An internship is part of the program, but it's actually much broader than an internship program. So going back to Marv again, and when he put out the role model point of view, we spent a lot of time saying, well, what would a role model need to do? And we came up with that there are actually 8 stumbling blocks to graduate from college, and we needed to address all of them. So every year within AIM High, there is programming for college readiness, academic support, cultural competence, work readiness, community service, goal setting, and recognition. And so every month there's a different program that the students and the mentors come to. For example, there's a career fair. There's a job shadowing day. There's a day for the seniors where we call it the apples to apples comparison, where they take all their financial aid packages and we sit down with them and help them make sense out of which one is really the best deal for you. We help them with their applications. We're taking them to medieval times in a few weeks, which is one of the cultural opportunities.
But so, now that place, you don't get to have to use silverware.
So we've heard.
That's very cultural way
right.
to me.
I think they're going to like that.
I'm not going to go there.
I think they're going to love that. We've got to go to a break here on Catholic Communion Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors, and our guests are Marcy Koblenz and Brian Powers. Also behind the glass was Graziano Marcheschi, another host of the program. There he is. Wave to the people on the radio audience there. We'll be back 312-255-8408, and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
If someone close to us begins to talk about their childhood sexual abuse, many of us don't know how to respond. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry is offering a one-day workshop for family and friends of victim survivors of childhood sexual abuse. A licensed clinical social worker will lead the program that will be offered on Saturday, February 4th. For more information, call Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268. That's Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Irrelevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., 9:11 in the morning on a Friday in Chicago. Father Greg has his boots on, ready for the snow.
You know what we forgot to do?
The look of fear on his face is...
Bring it on.
We should be captured in the next Sanctuary show, really.
Guess what we forgot to talk about?
What's that?
Sports.
We did. Maybe we'll pick that up at the second
half
of the program.
I like New England and San Francisco.
Do you?
How about you? It's football, you know.
Oh, is it football? Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. All right.
Talking about AIM High, which is a mentoring program of the Center for Companies That Care. And now we'll be introducing the program throughout the parishes of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Marcy Koblenz is with us. She is the president and founder. And Brian Powers, who is a mentor also with TTX Company. Marcy, give us a sense of the scope of the program. It's been going on for 5 years. Number of companies and the schools with which you draw some of your students.
Right, we're in our fifth year right now. There are about 21 Chicagoland employers involved, ranging from huge global companies to one of the companies is a 7-person graphic design firm, so any size employer can be involved in it. And we're working with several Chicago public schools and charter schools. We're working with George Westinghouse College Prep. We're working with North Lawndale College Prep. We're working with Chicago Talent Development High School, the Bronzeville campus of Urban Prep. We're also working with the University of Chicago Charter Schools, and I think that I touched on them.
How do you get connected with the companies? What do you look for as far as the commitment from the company in forming that relationship that's going to really make this program work?
Right. We look for a company whose employees are interested in being part of mentoring teams. In fact, there's two things that are really unique about this program. One is that each student has 4 to 6 mentors. And the reason that we do that is because we're looking for a 4-year commitment, and the average mentoring relationship is just under 1 year. And so we needed to find a way to try and extend it. And so the second part of the program that's unique is that the accountability for mentoring actually rests with the employer. So it's not the individuals who make the commitment to us, it's the employer who says, yes, we will take on 3 teams, for example, like TTX has. And if some of the mentors happen to turn over because they leave, because they get burned out, whatever the reason is, that they will make sure that those students continue to have 4 to 6 mentors.
So, Brian, walk us through what Marcy just said. This is your first year. You have a team of 4 to 6 on your team. And then TTX has how many employees involved with the program?
Well, we have about 300 employees here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we have three teams. We're sponsoring six students. I think it's 15 or 16 employees here at TTX. And how I got those employees, I put a message out to all of our employees in Chicago and said, this is the program. If you're interested, come to a meeting, at which Marcy conducted. And then we got several volunteers from the meeting. And then we were each assigned two students. So on my team, there's six employees, me being one of them. And we have two students, sophomores at Urban Prep in Inglewood.
And you met them for the first time last September?
Yeah, probably in the spring of last year.
And things like, how many meetings have you attended from the last spring until now? Because I know there's held monthly, mm-hmm. and the entire team does not have to be present.
Right, right. And that's, I was talking over the break, Marcy has a business background, so she understands how to make the program fit with the lives of people that work downtown. So all of the events are in the loop. After work. So it's very easy for the folks on my team, for example, just to, when at the end of the business day, walk over to a law firm that might be hosting that particular meeting. There are a couple of hours. Usually three to four of the six will be at the meeting. I try to get there every month. It's important because establishing a relationship with the kids is very difficult at first, but once you meet with them and get to know them a little bit better, it really starts to grow.
Now, how have these two young students touched your life and the life of the team?
Well, me personally, it certainly broadened my perspective. I live on the north side of Chicago. Frankly, don't know anybody in Inglewood. And meeting these kids, it opened my eyes that they're in a tough environment, but they're not unlike any of the kids that you might meet in Deerfield or north side of Chicago. And they're very grateful to have the support. And it's very rewarding to me to be able to give that support and see it work. And the program works. It's nice to be a part of something that does make a difference. We had several students that graduated and are in college now. So mm-hmm.
Do the students spend time at the companies as well, or are they pretty much, is the mentor relationship outside of the context of the office or the corporation that the company sponsors?
They also spend time at the companies. So once a year, there's a job shadowing day, and mm-hmm. they go to the companies. For the rising seniors, there's a three-week internship that they're at the companies full-time. Mm-hmm. And also during vacations, the companies will sometimes just invite them, or they'll do internships. We've had students working for the companies, especially the kids who are in college. So, yes, they continue to stay really involved with the companies. And frankly, a number of the companies are hoping to increase the diversity of their own employee base. And so they see it as a really positive means to that end also.
What I find so fascinating is someone like you, Brian, you could be spending your evenings elsewhere because you're very busy raising a family mm-hmm. and working during the day. And you take the time. And I find it interesting is how these two young people have touched your life, the life of the team, where you take work with two young people from the Inglewood community, and you're up in Deerfield, and somehow trying to make a difference. But like you said earlier, I want to be able to give back, mm-hmm. to give back to the community. And I think that's the heart of it. And that's what it means to be a message of a follower of the Lord, is that sense of giving back at all times. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars. And our guests are Marcy Koblenz, president and co-founder of Companies That Care, and Brian Powers, a mentor. We'll be back after a break. 312-255-8408.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities. And it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back, 9:21 in the morning, 9:50 a.m. at Relevant Radio for Chicago. Marcy Culpins is our guest. She is the president and co-founder of Companies That Care and Brian Powers, mentor in the program called Aim High with TTX. And Marcy, during the break, we were talking about how well the initiatives of Aim High, what we've been talking about in the program so far, fit into the greater rubric of Companies That Care and what you do, which is really reach out and verify or confirm that companies are really doing what they should be doing in their local communities, giving back, participating in service, and really fit that, what you call the code of conduct?
Yeah, our overall mission as Center for Companies That Care is really to cultivate employers to care. And what do we mean by care when we say that? It's to be involved in their local communities, and it's to also provide a work environment where employees can thrive, which helps their families thrive. So employers, what we're advocating for is that employers should be about more than only profits. Not that they shouldn't be profitable. Of course they should, because that's what provides the jobs. But beyond profitable, to also be involved.
What I have found, Marcy, is that many people in the workplace have said, "My job alone doesn't cut it. I'd like to be doing something more as a way of giving back, of helping in the community." And I mean, they may like their job, but say there's more to life than earning a paycheck, and that's very important. So I think this is a beautiful opportunity for someone, in a sense, to give back. But you don't do it alone. You're part of a team, so you're not stranded like on an island by yourself. And just to mentor young people and watch their growth, watch them mature, and have doors open that never would have been opened before.
You're absolutely right. In fact, there's data even that supports what you said, which is that employees want to work for companies who are involved in their communities, who provide these kind of volunteer opportunities, which is, and Brian can speak to that, it's one of the reasons why businesses are interested in offering
this. Yeah, it's one of the reasons this program resonated with me, because the teams that are made up at TTX that mentor the kids are from different departments, and they might not see each other throughout the course of the workday. So after work, we get together, we're with the students, with the kids, and it strengthens the relationship of the employees, which is better for the company if you think of it from a selfish company.
Absolutely, yes.
The need throughout CPS especially is great. The numbers are staggering. And the statistics you mentioned early on in the program are pretty daunting if you look at the size, the complexity, and the number of students that go through the CPS program and really don't take that next step onto college. Give us an example of some of the other things you mentioned during the break that you have coming up that kind of are going to raise the sensitivity and the awareness of this great need throughout the business community.
What's coming up on March 4th, Marcy?
It's actually
a beautiful segue, Wayne.
It's actually coming up on April 4th, which is during CPS.
Excellent segue. just the way we're
only a month off.
It's okay. March 4th is actually during CPS's spring break, which is why we scheduled it then. So the March to College is a 5K walk that's going to happen in Grant Park, and we really want to focus on school children and elementary school kids, middle school kids, getting out there and being part of this walk, because a huge reason that kids don't go to and graduate from college is because they never considered it. So this is part of, again, going back to Marv, but this is part of how do we raise their awareness at a much younger age. So we're going to have this big walk. We want them all to come out.
Do the parents play a role in this for you, and if so, how?
Absolutely. The parents are a really important part of the process. We need to be partnering with the parents, with the students' guardians, so that we're all on the same page helping the kids go to and graduate from college. We invite the parents to our different events. Part of mentor training orientation is get to know the parents also.
I think it's fascinating for many of our listeners that they might be unaware that in many homes, to graduate from college is far from an expectation. It's just, it's not a given. Many families I know that have no one ever graduated from college, so why should I? So Julie St. Marcy is this whole program is to offer the possibility for young people to dream big dreams, that there is a hope, there is a future, you don't have to do this alone. But again, it has to have the support of the parents and the community to kind of all work together.
Right, exactly. We need the businesses to be involved. We need mentors. We need funding. That all needs to come together. There's 33,000 ninth graders in CPS every year. So think about how many kids that is, and less than 3,000 of them graduate from college.
Brian, what would you say to a company executive who may be listening out there this morning who's kind of thinking this through and saying, well, I'm not really sure?
Well, I'll go back to my earlier comment in that the way that Aim High is set up, Marcy has a business background. She understands the time commitments of people who work, you know, every day of the week downtown. The events are very convenient. They're set up. There's no legwork, so to speak, that needs to be done on the part of the business. All you need to do is make it to the event and show up, and Marcy's got the everything covered. In addition, you don't necessarily have to supply mentors. A business doesn't. We need money also to run these events, to do the cultural events. You could be a sponsor, and that works for us too.
So, Marcy, in the last few minutes, give us a phone number. If there were a company out there right now, or an individual in his car or at home, him or her, to call you to learn more about Aim High, give us a phone number.
I would love to. It's 312-661-1010.
That number once again.
312-661-1010.
And a web? Or
the web is companiesthatcare.org. But just to make it tricky for everybody, you need hyphens in between the words. So it's companies-that-care.org.
I thought you were going to say the companies was spelled with K.
Yeah, right. the hyphens are hard enough.
I think
enough.
I'll just stick with the phone number.
I'm not sure where that was going.
Right.
In the last minute, I know that when you and Linda Hauser came to see me a week ago, you had the idea of now maybe opening this up to parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Say something about that.
We're always looking for more mentors and for institutions that have the ability to put teams of mentors together. And it was completely Linda's idea, who talked about the ministries in your parish and thought there are probably people who would be very, very interested in mentoring. And could we come to parishes and say, would you be willing to put teams together?
So a pilot maybe at St. Mary's in Evanston.
That's what we're hoping.
And that's thanks to Linda Hauser. So want to thank the both of you for being here, and want to thank in a special way Marcy Koblenz, president and co-founder of Companies That Care, and Brian Powers, a mentor in the program. And Marcy, one more time, give us the phone number for someone to give you a call to learn more about the program, Aim High.
It's 312-661 1010.
And thank you very much, Marcy and Brian, for being here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. Please get home safely. The snow is starting pretty soon. They say we're in the studio here, Wayne. I can't tell if it started or not. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
As recording the American Federation Pueri Cantores, Kyrie Eleison. Beautiful, beautiful voices, Wayne. Fantastic. Our topic for the second half of today's program is the Mass and Choir of 1,000 Voices event at Holy Name Cathedral on February 4th at 3 p.m. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese Office for Catholic Schools and the American Federation Pueri Cantores. This event will feature a choir made up of singers ages 9 through 18 from high school, middle school, and parish choirs. Our guest via the phone, Father Tom Franzman, Chief Campaign and Stewardship Officer at the University of St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary and a board member of Pueri Cantores, and also with us via the phone, Paul French, Music Director at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Chicago, a Pueri Cantores consultant and editor of their choral series, who will direct the combined choirs on February 4th at 3 p.m. Father Tom Franzman and Paul French, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thanks, Greg.
How are you, Tom and Paul?
Good morning.
Boy, that was a beautiful, beautiful background we were listening to of Pueri Cantores. And maybe you can give us an idea, how did this whole idea come about for this Mass and Choir of 1,000 voices of young people from the ages of 9 to 18. Whose idea was this, Tom?
Well, I think it was Jan Schmidt's idea. Jan is the executive director of Pueri Cantores, and our office is out in Orange County, California. And, in fact, a number of our board members, which Paul was a member for a time, and we thank him for that, many of the board members are from that area of the world. It makes it a little easier to get together out there. I'm the guy out with the snow out here. And
is it snowing out by you right now, Tom?
I'm sorry?
Has it started snowing by you?
Oh, up here in Mundelein? No, not yet, but it certainly is gray-looking enough to
begin
be
soon
on the road here. It's coming along, I'm sure.
Paul, but tell us how you start putting together 1,000 voices for a show like this.
Well, Puerto Cantores is an organization that is dedicated to promoting great music in the church, and especially that its power of catechesis for young singers, and that's what Puerto Cantores means. It's a Latin word that means young singers, and so this is not a new event for the church in America or the church in Chicago. We do these events annually throughout diocese and archdiocese around the country, and it's an international organization with some 60,000 members. The event here in Chicago this year is it's just a little bit of a marketing push to say, let's really do something special. We usually get between 300 and 400 and 500 singers for every festival at different places around the country, and we just thought we would pair this time with the Archdiocesan schools and the Office for Divine Worship and the fine work that Sister Mary Paul is doing, and saying, let's really make a push between colleagues like myself. I'm a parish music director, and the schools, to see if we can really do something really knockout. And that target number, 1,000 voices, was just put in front of all of us as kind of a challenge to see how we could do it. And that little bit of music that you heard was the Kyrie from the Misa de Angelis. It's mm-hmm. the Gregorian chant, Mass 8, and we sing music like that. So from the Misa de Angelis, we'll sing the Kyrie, the Gloria and the Agnus Dei, which is it's timeless music, and putting it in the mouths of young singers is really it's a beautiful thing for everyone present.
Tell us how students, either high school students, middle school, from parish choirs, how they get plugged into Puerto Cantores and become involved.
Well, time for hands when you get up here in Mundelein. Usually, it begins with the choir director learning about the existence of Puerto Cantores. You know, it began after the Second World War, essentially, with the French choirs. I think there was a realization that if there was ever going to be an effort at real peace in the world, it might come from the children, you know, and the fact that so many people and children and innocents are killed in wars, that we need to have children, in a way, be the face of the voice for peace. And so Puerto Cantores kind of uses that motto as singing God's peace to the world, the peace that we're meant to have, which the adults often kind of mess up. Mm-hmm. But and so
that's a good point, Tom. You're right about that.
Yeah, and it began really in so mid-40s after the war. It kind of took this turn. There were always young people's choirs, but it took this interest and change, I would say, after the Second World War. And then the American Federation, there are federations, as Paul mentioned, in many countries, I think 45 countries throughout the world, with about 60,000 singers involved. The American Federation, Puerto Cantores, was started in about 1955 here in Chicago by Monsignor Charles Meter, who was familiar with it from Europe. He had studied music there and so on for his later work as director of music for the cathedral and so on, and at Quigley, certainly. But it is the official organization of the Vatican for children's choirs. It's housed in the, I think Paul would probably know, I think in the Vatican Arts kind of area.
Actually, it's at the Pontifical Institute of Sacred Music.
Okay, that's it.
Where the Puri offices are.
Okay.
Now, Paul, how do you find the time to gather with all these young people? First of all, how often do you practice?
Well, that's the thing. The heavy lifting for events like this are really done by the individual choir directors. And so, you know, I'm conducting this festival, and I'm smiling and waving my hands. But really, if the great work of teaching the notes and teaching the phrasing, and not just the notes and the phrasing, but really the meaning and the theology behind the music isn't done by the school music choir directors and the parish choir directors, then it's not so successful. And so the great success is not just gathering the kids, but it's a real commitment by so many, many people to say that we're going to prepare ourselves before this event, which is taking place at the cathedral on February 4th. And so we choose the repertoire for all of the festivals in the country a year in advance, and all of this material is disseminated to pastors and principals and choir directors throughout the country in hopes that they will get on board. And we have just such proven success in these festivals around the country, and the pendulum has swung back in so many ways. You know, the church embraces so many styles of music, and I love so many styles of music. And Puri is about not just singing ancient music; it's contemporary music, but it really is music of substance, and it's not only substantial, but it's a whole lot of fun. We promote the idea that it's putting a face on music in the church for young people. You come to these festivals and they look around and they see hundreds of other singers who also appreciate.
And Father Tom, you mentioned the international fabric of this group. When we come back from a break, we want to talk about this because there's also opportunities within Puerto Cantores for many of these choirs and these students involved to travel. And I would imagine that it has a dimension that brings a whole different level of experience and exposure to all these participants. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Sure.
You're listening to The Gloria with Puerto Cantores on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 9:40 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1. And Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. You're listening to The Gloria by Puerto Cantores. Father Tom Franzman is with us. He is a board member of Puerto Cantores. Also, Paul French, who is the music director of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, a consultant for the group, editor of the choral series, and he will direct the combined choirs for the Mass and Choir of 1,000 Voices at Holy Name Cathedral on February 4th at 3 p.m. That event actually will end Catholic Schools Week, and also joining us for this segment of the program is the busiest person in the Archdiocese of Chicago, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools.
Russ.
Great.
Sister Mary Paul,
hi,
welcome
Father.
To...
Great to see you again.
Yeah,
how are you?
Catholic Community of Faith.
We always see one another around the neighborhood at 6 o'clock in the morning,
right,
so
right,
she's got to be one of the busiest people.
Two busy workers. We've been talking with Father Tom Franzman and Paul French, and Sister Mary Paul, this heavily involves school children.
Yes, it does.
Ages 9 through 18. So what's your take on this whole thing?
My take on the whole thing is how wonderful. We've been working very well, and my thanks to both of you, to Father and to Paul. Been a very great opportunity for our young people, both elementary and high school. And they made it user-friendly. The kids can wear their uniforms, and you'll be seeing a lot of running around the cathedral. I don't know if there'll be enough parking. I'm worrying about the practical things, you know. But I really believe it's a tremendous opportunity, and my understanding is it's the biggest in the nation. I imagine you've already referenced that, but the biggest gathering of young people in Voices for Sacred Music ever. So,
and Father Tom, before the break, we were talking about the incredible experience that these students have from not only the singing part of it, but meeting and interfacing with kids from all over the world. Talk about the international piece of it and the fact that so much of this involves travel to other parts of the country and other parts of the world, really.
Well, and welcome, Sister Paul. Good to hear your voice again. Thanks. I want to share a little bit about that. The international federations are many. There's even one from Tokyo, believe it or not, with a little Japanese choir of Catholic kids that's part of the federation. But it brings people, young people together from all parts of the world for the international gatherings, children that would never meet each other. Otherwise, I'm thinking, for instance, there was a big festival in Krakow a few years ago. There was another one in Stockholm when, again, Sweden, not being a very Catholic country, it's more predominantly Lutheran, they combined choirs with Lutheran choirs as well as the Catholic children and had a wonderful festival in Stockholm. And then about every 3 years, because it is sponsored by the Vatican and it is really the Pope's official outreach to children's choirs, and headquartered, as Paul said, in the Pontifical Sacred Music offices, the Pope says the January 1st Mass for Mary, the Mother of God, at St. Peter's, specifically hosting the Puri Cantoras children and singers from all over the world. So about every 3 years, and I was privileged in 1961, I'm dating myself here, but to
my
go...
My Lord, that's a long time ago.
It is. I was in third year Quigley, and I went with 9 other students from Quigley to sing the Mass for with John the 23rd on that 1st of January at St. Peter's, and there were 5,000 of us in the choir behind the altar.
From all over the world, Tom?
From all over the world.
That's amazing.
And I thought I heard your voice in that. Now that I'm thinking back, I thought I heard your voice in that choir.
I actually have a picture of the group taken from way up high, one of those walk-around balconies or something at St. Peter's, and there's this huge sea of little kids down below, and I always say, I point at one of them and
so
say,
talk
there
about,
I am, there I am.
You know, Tom, talk about a wonderful memory going back to your days at Quigley to be singing at the Vatican for Pope John the 23rd.
Absolutely.
And things. No, as Tom was talking, Paul, how many young people have started a musical career thanks to something like this? I mean, when I was a boy at the age of 5 and 6, I'm playing football, baseball, basketball. I didn't play hockey never because I never learned how to skate. And the thing is, and my mother, who was a former soprano and opera singer, it was just not my bent into music. But how many young people, thanks to you, have had this opportunity and we have moved on to a musical career?
Well, that's the power of sacred music. You know, I started with a guitar in my hand and just was pulled in by the experiences I had and the people that I met. And we all know that this, working with young people, these are the next generation of Catholics. These are the next generation of choral singers. This is the next generation that you can have the opportunity to really make a difference in their lives and show them how important church is and how it can just be so exciting to be involved in this way. And so, you know, we all spend time consciously making strides to make events like this happen so that children can see and young people can be drawn into the power and the beauty of church by singing its sacred music.
And I maybe you could tie the two ideas together, but we have one principal who's always been very supportive of church sacred music, especially Latin, and because she has students from 56 countries. Yeah. And she said they all have to learn something new. Yeah. Is it this way? It is a unifying experience with the sacred, something of the most beautiful things we have to offer, and bringing the children around the altar with sacred music in a sense, a foreign language for everyone. So it's a great move.
And this is really a perfect capper for Catholic Schools Week because of the international dimension and all of the good things that are happening on that front throughout the Catholic schools, throughout the Archdiocese.
Absolutely. It's a great celebration to be able to be invited down to the cathedral to worship. Many of the parishes are going to be having their Catholic Schools Mass that Sunday before, so this works out just to kick the week off. So this works out just beautifully.
And I want to say thanks, Cardinal George, for agreeing to celebrate this, both for the schools and for Puri Cantores, kind of the combined effort, because, again, he was a singer. He was part of the Paulus Choir when he was a youngster and before he went off to the seminary. And he loves music, and he loves the young people, and he was actually supposed to be on his vacation starting Saturday, that Saturday.
No kidding.
He's delayed going till Sunday because he wanted to do this Mass and celebrate with the young people. So I think that's just great, too. He is, in fact, the Episcopal Moderator
for
the American Federation.
Another title, another one of his titles.
Right.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Wayne Madjars, and our guests are Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, Father Tom Franzman, and Paul French. You're listening to Sanctus from Puri Cantores on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about his ad limina visit to Rome and about turning 75. We'll show you highlights of the recent Posada on the streets surrounding Holy Name Cathedral. And our stewardship and development director will talk about all the good that comes from money collected during the annual Catholic Appeal.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. You're listening to Sanctus, sung by the Puri Cantores, it's a tremendous group, the American Federation Puri Cantores. And the time in Chicago is 9:52. Heavy snow is expected, so please drive carefully. Our guests this last half hour, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, Father Tom Franzman, and Paul French. In the last few minutes, Paul, just mention to us how you think this music is making a comeback among young people.
Well, I think that I think for the longest time in the last 20 years, it wasn't necessarily the music in favor in the church, and I think it goes hand in hand with sort of a wider vision of church and music and church architecture. Sometimes with Gregorian chant, you need a little bit of an acoustic to make it work, and so that's why sometimes you see those old pictures of dusty cathedrals with their high ceilings, and the sound just echoes and echoes like we just heard in that little musical clip. But beyond that, I think sometimes we lose sight of the timeless nature of music, and in church documents that have come out in the last few years have really said that this music is to be valued and treasured, and not just looked at as our history, but really as that thing that can really unite us with Catholic Christians of the past and those who sing the same repertoire all around the world. And I think there's just a reawakening of its beauty, of its power, and so that's what we're doing in Puri Cantoris. That's what this group is all about, to sing of substantial music for young people and to realize that it's not too hard or too sort of cerebral. It's music for the soul, and it awakens in these young people an ideal of something timeless and something great, and it always just points to God and the beauty and the power of the church's liturgy.
And Sister Mary Paul McCaw, you go around the entire archdiocese with grammar schools, with Catholic high schools. And what do you see? I mean, there's we have such a diverse archdiocese.
Total
so how
diversity.
Do you pull the whole thing together in light of like an event like this?
I think to Paul's point, I think it's coming back, but it has to come back slowly, and there's been a lot of education. We've lost a couple generations. You know, everyone was, you know, sharing their memories, and mine is of Iris Sahara when I was at IJP as a junior high school student. I sang and somebody else played the organ every day during Lent. Now, how often would you let a 7th and 8th graders go up and do that? But that was part and parcel of the culture. That hasn't happened for 30, 40 years, and I think that's been a call now maybe back to us to the simplicity, to the beauty, to understanding that it belongs to all of us. And it's slow because I think, and Paul maybe can comment on this, or Father, you know, I don't know necessarily that we've had even folks trained in the music that we needed to have to pull this off. That's why this event is so important, and what Puri Cantoris does in the summer with choral directors I think is so important.
Thanks for mentioning that, Sister Time Franzman. Again, I was thinking that that was a good thing to mention, because directing children, as Paul could attest, is a different animal than directing adult choirs. And the training and the work and the patience and all that's involved is very, very different. And but people are doing it and are doing it well, and we're trying to help through the American Federation, the conductors, with those workshops. You're absolutely right.
And what I find fascinating is that this event on Saturday, February 4th at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral with 1,000 young voices closes National Catholic Schools Week, which the theme happens to be faith, academics, and service. Those are great words, and somehow to bring it all together in song in the House of God at Holy Name Cathedral. A simple question, Paul, with 1,000 voices alone at Holy Name Cathedral, and the capacity is only 1,400, where will these children be seated and standing?
The seating chart is getting made up as we speak.
I mean, I thought about it. The cathedral is gorgeous. How are you going to pull this off?
This won't be the first time we've done this, and so you know we've had wonderful celebrations here in the Archdiocese in the past, and this is what we're about. Now, again, 1,000 children aren't the same as 1,000 adults.
True.
So that you can fit them in a little bit more tightly. But still, I'm glad you announced the time. I'm not necessarily looking to have people come down and observe this, because I think between parents and school administrators, the cathedral will be pretty full. But it is great to just put out there what we're doing. That said, it will be tight, but it will be glorious. And the cathedral music director, Dr. Ricardo Ramirez, will be accompanying on the two magnificent pipe organs in the cathedral. So we'll make it work.
Well, we need to bring today's program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, for joining us this last half hour. And also thank you to Father Tom Franzman, one of the great priests of the Archdiocese, who's Chief Campaign and Stewardship Officer at the University of St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary, and a board member of Puerto Contreras, and Paul French, Music Director at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish in Chicago, a Puri Cantoris consultant and editor of their choral series, who will direct the combined choirs of 1,000 children on Saturday, February 4th at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral. And I want to thank all of you, and you're listening to the closing segment of Agnus Dei, sung by Puri Cantoris. I'm Father Greg Sack, with special thanks to our producers, Diane Dunnigan and Jim Dish, and our great work of the engineer, Michael May, to all. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend, and please, please, drive safely.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.